Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. I have started for the kingdom. I have started for the kingdom.
I have started for the kingdom. And I won't turn back. No, 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 I won't turn back.
Oh, sing it, everybody.
The whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. If nobody will go with me, if nobody will go with me, if nobody will go with me, I won't turn back, I won't turn back.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus.
Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. And I won't turn back, no, 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 I won't turn back. All right, remain standing. I'd like for you to turn your Bible to the book of Revelation. I'd like for you to turn to chapter 3. And let's start with verse 15, reading through to verse 16. Here in the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 15 and 16, we have these words. Here we notice that Jesus says, I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for the reading of thy word. We thank you for such an hour that we're living in. When God, in the last days, we have a tremendous amount of young people to realize the population over half of the world is now under 25. And Lord, it's pushing by the year 21 of years of age, over half of the world's population. In a few more days or a few more months or maybe within a year, we'll reach that climax of under 21, over half of this world is young people. Lord, we thank you for this hour when we pray that this message would challenge our hearts to do the will of God and consecrate our lives to be to the things of Almighty God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to preach on the thought consecration. Consecration. We are living in a generation when everybody around us is consecrating their lives to be something. Here Jesus said, I know thy works. I know thy works. So Jesus knows that every Christian is consecrating their lives to be something. Jesus knows the condition that prevails in the world. He knows the bulk of the young people in the world today is consecrating, dedicating their lives to be something in this world. Now, when you meet the young people, this world, they challenge you and I. They stand upright and they declare to you and me that we are dedicating our lives for things in this world. And so when you meet the young people, this world, they challenge us today. They stand upright and they declare to you and I beyond a shadow of a doubt what their heart desires, whether it's right or wrong. The world is dedicating and consecrating their lives to be things in this world. You meet the young people, the world, and you say to this young man, what do you want? I want to be a lawyer. You say to this young lady, what do you want to be? I want to be a nurse. You say to this young man, what's your plans? I'm going to be a doctor. You say to this young lady, what's your plans? I'm going to be an airline stewardess. We say to this young man, what's your plan? Oh, I'm going to be a hippie. We say to this man, what are you going to be? I'm going to be a dope pusher. And so the world challenges us tonight. The world declares they're not ashamed of what they do, regardless of whether it's right or wrong. And so the world knows what their heart desires, and they're spending their lives. They're working their fingers to the bone. They could care less. They only believe this this life and this life only. And they're willing to spend money. They're willing to spend self. They're willing to spend all of their talents to obtain some little thing in this life that might give them a little thrill or a little excitement. But when we come to Christian young people and we say to this young man, what are you going to be? I don't know. Young lady, what are you going to be? I don't know. Young man, what's your plans? Whatever God wants me to be. And it seems like we're in a stalemate. We don't know exactly what we want to be. We're not planning to be much of anything. Other words, we're just drifting. We're not dedicating. We're not consecrating our lives to be much of anything. And so God says here in the book of Revelation, and notice the book of Revelation is the last things for the last day. And so God is declaring that in the last days, he is saying, I know thy works, young people. God knows more about you and more about me than we want to know about ourselves. And so he is declaring in the word of God, I know what you are. I know what you're planning to be. And therefore, he puts us in three categories. He's telling you and I that we're consecrating our lives to either be a snowball, or we're going to be a spitball, or we're going to be a fireball. So notice what he says in the word of God. He says, young people, I know thy works, and I know that you're neither hot nor are you cold, or you're neither cold or you're neither hot. Therefore, I know that you are lukewarm. Therefore, I will spew thee out of my mouth. So God puts every young people today in three categories. First of all, he puts you in a category of being something cold. And we're going to illustrate this being a snowball. How many has ever had a snowball? Let me see your hands. All right, many of you have had a snowball in your hand. Then you know what a snowball is. You know that a snowball is something that's cold. It's something that you can't hold on to. It's something, if you make a snowball, you got to get rid of it. Because if you don't, it'll numb your fingers. It will numb your hands. It will paralyze that hand that holds it. It will grow numb. It will grow cold. And therefore, you can't bend the fingers like you want to. And so there it is. Your hand is froze. And so God pictures us here in the book of Revelation that our works are like a snowball. Now, what would make young people a snowball? I find there are four things that are making young people snowballs today. First of all, the first thing that's causing us to be a snowball is a lack of Bible study. A lack of Bible study. We're living in an hour and a generation when we don't want to study the Word of God. But Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he said, study to show thyself approved unto God as a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly divided the word of truth. And if there ever was a time when we need to rightly divide it, if there ever was a time when we need to study it, it's now, young people, when there's so much doctrine and so much religion and so many ways and so many wants and so many gimmicks and gadgets that's going on today in religious movements. Notice it was the psalmist David who said in Psalms 119:11, thy word have I hid in my head that I might not sin against God. No, but he said in my heart, we'd rather hide it in our head. We would rather hide it in our intellect. We would rather hide it somewhere in our brain. We are scared to get it down in our hearts because we know it'll clean us out. We know it'll separate us from this world. And so we are a snowball today because it's a lack of Bible study. Another thing that would make us a snowball today is a lack of prayer. Listen to me, young people, you got to pray. There's no other way. There's no shortcuts to heaven. Did you hear me? There's a cliche, a saying that says 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. I don't believe that. I believe that 1 day without prayer makes 1 week. I know the D.L. Parker, brother, if a day goes by, I don't pray, things don't go right. I know in my life, I don't care how long I've served God, 1 day without prayer makes me weak. The Bible says in Luke chapter 21 and verse 36, the Bible said, watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all of these things that shall come to pass. And so the Bible's warning us, we must pray. There's no shortcuts if we plan on make heaven or home, then we must have a decent prayer life. The Bible says in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1, the Bible says that we ought to always pray with this thought in mind. It says we ought to pray. Now notice what it says, pray always, pray without ceasing. Men ought to always pray. The Bible says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. If Jesus prayed, how much more do we have to pray? There's no shortcuts. If you lack a prayer life, neighbor, you're going to end up being a snowball. The only anything that's going to keep you on fire for God is a decent prayer life. Another thing that will make us a snowball is a lack of church attendance. We're living in an hour when young people, we want to come to church for the socials. We want to come to church for the gatherings. We want to come to church for the outings. We want to come to church for the picnics. We want to come to the church for the plays. But oh, listen to me. It's time that we band ourselves together. For the Bible says in Hebrews 10:25, not to forsake the assemblings of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much more as you see the day approaching. And so we're living an hour when we need to band ourselves together. Now, young people, look at the young people in the world. They're banding themselves together for rock and roll parties. They're banding themselves together for dope parties. They're banding themselves together for race riots. They're banding themselves together to rebel, to dare down the establishment. How much more should we band ourselves together in the house of God to fight sin that's destroying us, to fight the devil who's raging against us as a roaring lion? We need to join ourselves together and march as an army with unity, for the captain of our salvation is Christ Jesus. We may be small in number, we may be of a minority, but neighbor, with God on our side, we are a majority. And never despise a small group, because God said where two or three are gathered together, there I am in the midst. And so the Bible is declaring to you and I, we'll end up being a snowball if we don't band ourselves together in God's house. Another thing that will make us a snowball is a lack of holiness. A lack of holiness. A lack of holiness. Let me ring this thing home. The Bible says, notice in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, the Bible says, be ye holy, for I am holy. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 14, without holiness, it's impossible to please God. How many of you believe God's holy? Let me see your hand. Yes, there's hands all over this place being raised. Well, if God's holy, then he expects a generation to be holy. He'll not dilly-dally with sin. He'll not play with a neighbor. He wants a generation that's peculiar, a generation that's separate. I think it's high time that young ladies look like young ladies. I think it's high time that young men look like young men. I think it's time we don't dress like the world. We don't buy like the world. We don't live like the world. We don't crave like the world. I think there ought to be a standard in your life and in my life. I believe there's a separation, young people. I believe we can only go so far. I don't believe we can do anything we want. I don't think we can do anything we feel that we want to do. I believe we ought to put on godliness. That's being like God. And I believe we ought to take off worldliness. That's being like the world. Amen. The Bible's admonishing us and teaching us. Notice what the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17 and 18. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you and be a father unto you. And ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In other words, he wants a separated generation. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're traveling in the world, but we're not living by the standard of this world. Let them have their dope parties. Let them have their sex parties. Let them have their love-ins. Let them have the things of this world. But neighbor, you and I have the things of God. We have the wells that never run dry. We have peace and joy that flows from Emmanuel's veins. Oh, hallelujah. Now, do you want to be a snowball? Let me see your hands. How many of you young people want to be a snowball? None of you. Well, we've got two more left. If you don't want to be a snowball, then maybe you'd like to be a spitball. Now look, God said, I know thy works. I know thy works. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold or hot. So because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now notice the Bible puts a nice, beautiful word in there, spew. But in our modern terminology, we don't call this word spew. We call it spit. That's right. We literally call it spit. In other words, God said, I will spit thee out of my mouth. That's right. That's what he said in his word. In other words, God doesn't like anyone who is lukewarm. In other words, a lukewarm Christian is like a jellyfish. It's like a jellyfish. Now, how many's ever seen a jellyfish? A jellyfish, sure. A jellyfish lives in the ocean. A jellyfish lives down there in the ocean. It lives along the shore. Now notice, a jellyfish has no form. It has no backbone. In other words, if the water's hot, it's hot. If the water's cold, it's cold. If the water's lukewarm, it's lukewarm. If the water's clear, it's clear. If the water's muddy, it's water. It's muddy. In other words, whatever form the water is, that is what the jellyfish is. So whatever circumstance it's placed in, it consecrates. It dedicates its life to whatever condition it's found in. And I find that many of our young people, we're the same thing. I'm in the church one thing, I'm another thing in the world. This cannot be. I've got to live the life in here and live it out there too. I've got to sing in here and sing out there. I've got to pray in here and pray out there. I've got to live it in here and live it out there. But not a jellyfish. He lives around the shore. He gets caught. The waves come up, he comes up with them. The tide goes down, he goes down. The tide comes up, he goes up. The waves swish him into the shore. If he plays too close to the shore and the wave goes back out, he is caught on the sand. Unless another wave comes in and picks him up, then his particles are caught on the sand, and therefore he can't get back. The dryness comes and dries him out. The heat of the day comes and piles away at its life, and pretty soon it's dead, it's gone. He has no force to get back into the water. That's why we're a spitball. We're like a jellyfish. Oh, you say, I'm not like a jellyfish. Maybe you're like a wishbone. How many's ever seen a wishbone? Let me see your hands. How many's ever seen a wishbone? Now, right here's a wishbone. I got one in my hand. Can you see it? Can you see that wishbone? Look at it. That's right. There's a lot of Christians, y'all, young people, just like a wishbone. We're just like a wishbone. That's right. All we're ever doing is just wishing. I wish I could play the piano. I wish I could play the organ. I wish I could sing. I wish I could speak in tongues. I wish I could give a message. I wish I had the discernment of spirits. I wish I had miracles. I wish I had divine healing. I wish I was a preacher. And it's just whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. But look at this wishbone. That's a wishbone, right? Get a hold of it. You got a hold of it? Have you ever played it? All you can do is make a promise, right? What's your promise? You can't think of one. All right. Now let's break it. Now it broke, right? Now tell me something. When you play the game of a wishbone, two people can't win. Somebody's got to lose, right? You lost. You got the short end, you see? In other words, either you win and I win. No, either you win and I lose, or I win and you lose. In other words, when you're playing the game of a wishbone, somebody's got to lose. The boat is broke. In other words, this is a game we're playing with God, but this is not the right game. When you play God's game, you don't lose. When you play your game, you do lose. And so we're like a wishbone. Now, God doesn't want us to be a wishbone, because just as sure as you end up being a wishbone, neighbor, you're going to find yourself being spewed out of the very mouth of God, and he'll not have any part of it. So here the Bible's warning you. The Bible's teaching you, don't be a wishbone. Don't be a wishbone. And so all you've got left is promises. All you've got left is dreams, and they're not based on the word of God. Or you say, preacher, I'm not a wishbone. Well, if you're not a wishbone, maybe you're like spaghetti. How many's ever eaten spaghetti? Let me see your hands. Look at you folks. When you go to Rome, please don't eat it in Rome. I'll warn you ahead of time. When I went to Rome, I've been there on several occasions. It's the most lousiest stuff I've ever eaten in my life. And I ain't the biggest spaghetti house in Rome. They don't know how to cook it over there. In fact, they ought to come over here and learn how we know how to cook it. Amen. Spaghetti didn't come from Rome. If it didn't, I don't know what part it came from. But many of you know what spaghetti is. Spaghetti comes in two forms. It comes in two forms, neighbor. Now, which form do you want? Right here is spaghetti. You see it in my hand? That's spaghetti. Right? Is that spaghetti? You want to feel it? Feel that spaghetti. That spaghetti. Hold it up. Hold it up straight. That's it. You're holding that spaghetti up straight. Now, if you hold it up straight, it stands straight. Right? It all depends on which way you hold it. You hold it this way, it leans that way. You hold it this way, it leans that way. You hold it this way, it leans that way, right? So that's spaghetti. That's spaghetti, right? It's got a little backbone to it, right? It's got a little strength in it. Many of us are just like spaghetti. But brother, wait till the heat's applied to it. Wait till we put some heat to it. Wait till we put some fire to it. Wait till we put some water to it. And neighbor, we're going to end up with this. We're going to end up with this. That's that same spaghetti. That's the same thing that came out of the package. That's right. That's one I carry in my pocket in case I get hungry. Amen. Look at it. You see what I mean? Feel it. Try to hold it up. Can you hold it up? Look, it fell over. Try to hold it sideways. You can't. Try to hold it down. Oh, it fell on the floor. That's spaghetti. It has no backbone. It has no strength. It's just doing the jitterbug. It's just doing everything you make it do. In other words, it can't live by itself. It's got the shakes. It's got the willies. It's very nervous. And you can't do a thing with it. You see, the fire's been to it. The heat's been to it. The water's been to it. Therefore, it crawls like a snake. Amen. That's right. Hey, I get hungry sometimes I preach. You see, and so it has no body, does it? None whatsoever. Has no form. So here the Bible's teaching us. You don't want to be a spitball, do you? You want to be a spitball young man? I don't want. That's the nastiest thing I can think that any person could be. How many's ever made a spitball? Man alive, a lot of you haven't made it. I'll never forget the one I made in school. Man, I made one in school one time, got me in trouble. I made that spitball, and when I made the thing, I got the thing all ready, and I went to hit my buddy with it, and the thing curved. And when that thing curved, it hit the teacher smack dab in the head, and brother, I knew I had it. And the fella saw me throw it, he busted out laughing, and the teacher thought it was him. And brother, the teacher yanked that fella outside and beat the daylights out of him. He said, it wasn't me. I know who it was. She said, it was you. He came back in that class, he said, D.L. Parker, you better tell that teacher, you're the one that threw that spitball. I said, no, not me, man. You got the whooping. He said, I'll wait on you after class, and he did. And brother, I mean to tell you, he worked my clock over. He gave me two of the biggest black eyes I've ever had in my life, boy. I mean to tell you, that spitball got me in problem. Now, God says you're going to be a spitball. Now, for you that have never made one, who's got a piece of paper? Somebody, anybody?